This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, good to see you, and thank you for your continued support over these 10 years and 1,000 plus episodes, and everybody on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, good to have you here. Our commitment, of course, is to always bring you relevant, important discussions and topics so that you can listen to learn just one thing and then implement it all. Please do me a favor and do that. I rarely ever tell anybody what to do, but you got to do that because we work so hard to give you all this good stuff. Hey, we're going to be at the TST annual event. Tracy and I, Saturday, March 28th, 2026 in Tarrytown, New York. Hear from educators Andrew Fisher, Ken Zanders, Adam Roberts. Of course, G. Trulia will be hosting us. Go to tstseminars.org, sign up for the one-day technician training, and even hear from the keynoter, Tracy Capriotto. Oh, I think I know her. And don't forget about the ARPN, the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. For your smartphone, the ultimate professional automotive repair playlist. We worked so hard putting this together for you. We want this to be an easy peasy thing. You can save favorites, build a category library, or see your recently played episodes. So many cool features there. Hey, look, thanks for our great partners that have been with us for so long, and they're so committed to us. Are you looking to take your shop to the next level? With NAPA Auto Care, you can deliver unbeatable customer confidence through the peace of mind warranty. Learn how to upgrade your service and grow your business. Connect with your local NAPA rep today. Hey, for over 30 years, NAPA Trax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find NAPA Trax on the web at NAPATRACS.com. Hey, before we get started, I got to get something kind of outlined here for our episode today here with Chris Lawson. So here's the deal. There's a question I want you to sit down and think about before today's episode. Are you hiring a babysitter or are you hiring a manager? Because those two roles are not the same, and confusing them may be one of the biggest reasons shop owners struggle to scale, even grow a great one-store business. I hear it all the time. I want a great GM. I need to hire a manager. I want someone who owns the results. I want to step back 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, and have the business run without me. But the conversation turns to compensation, bonuses, profit, and suddenly the brakes get slammed on. I don't want to share my numbers. What if they learn too much? What if they leave and open their own shop? Here's the uncomfortable truth. You cannot expect someone to manage outcomes that they can't see. You can't hold someone accountable to a scoreboard that you've hidden. And you definitely can't pay someone on gross profit while keeping gross profit a secret. In this episode with Chris Lawson, we're going to challenge a belief that quietly limits a lot of good shop owners, the idea that financial transparency is risky. Chris Lawson, welcome.
Hey, Carm. It's great to see you again.
Thank you. Chris Lawson, technicianfind.com. Go there. Have fun. Let them hire your next guy or girl.
Yes. Thank you, Carm. And hey, I just wanted to put in a quick plug for your podcast. It's fantastic. You guys did a great job. I love it. I used to bounce around all over YouTube trying to get my favorite shows, and now it's all in one place. I love it.
Oh, what can I send you? Can I send you a porterhouse? What can I send you? Thank you.
Just keep doing what you're doing, brother. I love it.
Nick, I didn't expect that, so thank you. We've been on previously 3 episodes, so if you love what Chris has to say today as we talk about babysitters versus managers, please just go to our website, remarkableresults.biz, type in Chris Lawson in the search bar, and listen to him all. He's been on singly with me and also on panels on a town hall. So look, at what point does an owner unknowingly hire a babysitter while expecting a manager? Oh, I got this superstar. And the superstar doesn't know how to hold a pen.
I think there's miscommunication and a misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding is I'm going to find this superstar manager. I don't think it works that way. I think you attract a superstar manager. It's a subtle difference, but it means all the difference in the world because what happens is, and I don't mean you're sitting cross-legged and burning incense and, you know, manifesting the perfect manager that's going to walk into your office. What I mean is when you're attracting, it's everything you do. It starts with the ad. The way the ad is written, it's going to specifically communicate to, hey, are you looking for a skilled manager to come in and take over and be responsible? Or, you know, are you looking for somebody to babysit the kids? You know, that's really what you're looking at. It's the ads. It's your culture. It's all the conversations that you're having leading up to an offer. It is, are the questions that you ask in an interview. There's lots of things that go into this, and it has to all come together.
Chris, I wonder if the exercise is this. An owner sits down and writes down what they want that manager to do, what they want that manager to be. And if that outline, that ultimate manager, even if it's a evolution of growth, well, I want them to start out first and then the first 6 months, that could help the interview process. That could help you find the right individual. But I'm not sure, here's where I'm taking a leap and you can help ground me, that when you start getting into, I want them to really be like me and sweat the financials and worry about some of the details like I do, they don't know how to make that happen.
Yeah, that's a big issue. One of the big things that I see is they aren't sure what they need to be hiring for. And I think it starts with a really detailed position description. And you just did a wonderful job of explaining how you sit down and you do that. What is the position description? Yeah, you can grab one from your coach. You can grab one offline. You can even ask ChatGPT. But at the end of the day, you really need to sit through it and you need to pencil it out on your own. What does this look like? What are they going to be doing on a day-to-day basis? What's the oversight that happens? The reality is that A players want to work for A players. And your preparation and going into this is what shows them that you're an A player. And that's really somebody that's going to take responsibility, is going to be looking for in an interview.
Preparation. I'm sorry, it's a huge word. You and I prepped to do this interview. We really did. You can't do something that has meaning, it's fruitful, that will pay off at the end if you don't prepare. I want to hire this figment of my imagination. A unicorn. There we go. We always go back to that. I want to find a unicorn manager. Unicorn managers, they just don't show up. They just don't get born inside your shop.
What is a unicorn manager? If I asked 20 shop owners what a unicorn manager would be, I'd get 20 different answers. There's no problem with that. It's not an issue because it's going to be somebody that fits into your culture. It's going to be somebody that has the right skills. But if you're not clear on that, what's going to happen? And I'll just give you a quick example. One of the things that, you know, we've helped lots and lots of shops hire all different types of positions. And one of the things that I can always tell is on an onboarding call, I can tell when the shop is going to hire quickly because they're really focused on what they want. And it's not that, hey, we're just going to keep getting applications until we find a unicorn. It's, hey, you know what? We have a specific role that we need to fill. These are the things that this particular individual is going to be accountable for and needs to produce, you know, the work that they need to be accountable for. And they know when they see that, when somebody comes in, they know who that person is. And that makes it really easy to hire quickly. If you're thinking, oh yeah, we want a rock star. Well, what does that mean? You know, it doesn't really mean anything. And then you just wait and wait and wait, and it just doesn't work out well.
So replace me, Chris. Oh, thank you for calling. I want you to find me my next superstar. And Chris says, well, what do you want that person to do? And that person says, I want them to replace me. I can't imagine where your line of questioning goes after that. I can't imagine, Chris. Actually, you and I should kind of role play this too, a little bit. So what is it that you want them to do to replace you? And you're waiting to hear, I am sure, you know, scheduling, profitability, KPI. You're probably looking for that individual. You want them to start tomorrow? Is this an evolutionary thing? And if not, in the back of your mind, because you're here because you wrote this great article, Babysitter versus Manager, because you heard this in a discussion, they're worried that if I tell them everything, they may leave and start their own shop. And you know what? It happens, but I don't think it happens as much as people have that fear or worry about, Chris.
No, it really doesn't. You know, if somebody has that ambition and that drive, they're going to go that direction anyway. And the best thing you can possibly do is help them out. I've seen lots of shops where they do that. And you know what? It ends up being a mess because what you end up doing is you end up going into hire for the wrong reasons. There's really three reasons why somebody doesn't want to share numbers. And you really have to share the numbers.
Maybe because my books aren't right. Maybe because I have funny stuff in the books. Maybe it's greed. Maybe I don't get monthlies. I don't have any financial goals. I really just have a job. And I'm not an entrepreneur or business or CEO. I think the aspiration to get themselves a manager so they could work less can't come with the fact that you didn't work hard enough to get yourself to work less.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head. And it really goes into being able to define what these roles are. I mean, what are the main functions of an owner? What are the main functions of the manager? You don't want these to cross over. So for the functions of the owner, really you're looking at, they own the vision and priorities. It's getting up every morning and saying, there's the horizon. We're walking towards that horizon. That's really what the owner is doing. And then financial risk and management. Those are big issues that have to be addressed by the owner. And then making financial decisions on bigger issues, not the small day-to-day issues. And then they should not need to make decisions on the small day-to-day situations. Those are the big things that the owner is going to be responsible for. And if you want a good manager, the manager is going to be responsible for owning the day-to-day execution, the workflow, the SOPs, those types of things. They're going to be responsible for compensation plans, although they should be approved by the owner. They will be responsible for that. And then policies can be proposed by the manager, but approved by the owner, strategic versus tactical. That's the real difference, is the strategic work and then the tactical work. And then they manage the people, the team, hold them accountable, and they detect and solve issues, follow through on execution, and provide statistics and data to measure performance. And every owner, if they really want a manager and not a babysitter, they really should be willing to put in some time in training their manager on the P&L. Don't just assume they know how to read it. Train them so that they have the information that they need to make the good decisions about the business.
That's a great point, Chris. Clean books is a sign of great leadership. And I think it's a leadership requirement to have clean books so that you're confident that the more your manager finds out, you have to know and understand if they'll never be able to lead or manage through the financial side of the business, which almost every decision that they make flows into the profit and loss statement, unless you have good, clean books. And accuracy in that is great. But what I've just heard you say, and let me ask you this question, the word manager versus the word general manager, Chris, a lot of times, a lot of what I'm hearing at a higher level, setting compensation rates and all that stuff. But a manager of this, you know, 3 or 4 bay operation, maybe 4 or 5 people in it, I have a manager. Maybe that individual doesn't necessarily get that deep in unless they start showing you that they can manage the current level of responsibility that you gave them. Hey, I'm all for, I've got a great friend who's taken 1 or 2 days off a week, and his current manager has stepped up to the point where he actually is demonstrating like a general manager. And in my mind, a general manager has an awful lot of fiscal responsibilities.
Absolutely, they do. And I think that's the best way. If you're promoting from within and you already see somebody's capabilities and they're taking action, then that's the best way. It's, you know, best of all worlds. What you want to make sure that you're doing, though, is on a consistent basis, having one-on-ones with them. It surprises me still how many shops aren't having regular one-on-ones. But that's where people know how they're doing. That's where the accountability comes in. Then things don't get too far out, because another problem that I see is somebody has an expectation that they're going to be moving along a specific growth track. And then the owner isn't communicating with them, but they don't see them coming along the way that they thought they would come along. And then it comes to a head, you know, 6 months, a year down the road, the employee says, hey, I thought I was on this track. And then the owner says, no, you're just not doing what you need to be doing. And then they have this big fallout because the employee didn't realize that they weren't progressing at the rate that the owner expected them to progress at.
As a NAPA Auto Care, you already know that your reputation is built on trust, reliability, and service. That's why every member automatically provides customers with the 24-month, 24,000-mile peace of mind nationwide warranty. Now, that's coverage your customer counts on and a competitive edge you can't afford to overlook. Want to deliver even more value? Well, you can upgrade to the 36-month, 36,000-mile warranty program. Even better, that extended coverage is also available when your customers use their NAPA credit card for qualifying repairs and service. With quality NAPA replacement parts built to meet or exceed OEM standards, you're not just offering competitive pricing and reliability, you're standing behind your work with the best warranty in the industry. Give your customers peace of mind wherever the road takes them and give your business the advantage it deserves. To get started, connect with your local NAPA representative today. Hey, stay ahead of the curve with NAPA Auto Care's newest auto tech initiatives, fast track assessments, accelerator immersive training, and tech assist smart support. The future of technician training is here. Connect with your local NAPA representative for more information. Hey, when customers choose a NAPA Auto Care Center, they get more than a repair. They get trust, savings, and peace of mind. Want your shop to stand out? Connect with your local NAPA representative and get the conversation started to become a NAPA Auto Care Center. Hey, you know the technician shortage is real, but NAPA Auto Care has a solution at no cost to members. The NAPA Auto Care Apprentice Program builds tomorrow's technicians through a 2-year, 9-stage curriculum. Learn more at member.napaautocare.com or talk to your NAPA representative today. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NAPATRAX was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NAPATRAX offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NAPATRAX is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NAPATRAX, that's NAPATRAX.com. Chris, I've got some friends that they take their manager growing to be, you know, a superstar, maybe potential owner someday, offsite every couple of weeks. And if you can't do it during the day because your business is a little too tight, then you got to have these early breakfast meetings or, you know, a little after work, you know, half hour to coffee shop, so that you stay on the same page. Because what I think is bad is for the owner to have built up tension about things that aren't getting done right. And I think it's got to come out. And I also think that the manager, who maybe isn't getting the right guidance or made some decisions that they weren't sure about because the owner wasn't here, because that's what you wanted me to do, get out. I made some decisions. Were you okay with my decision? And I think that on the same page, far away, intimate, close, on a continuous basis, removes the babysitter moniker.
It's kind of like a relationship, right, Carm?
Oh my God, related to how you met mama or your significant other in some way.
Yeah. Do you have date night without the kids? Do you, you know, get away from the regular day to day and bond and do other things like that? You know what? It's not any different. You know, I had a shop owner. He was actually hiring a technician. He said, you know what, Chris, I take my time hiring technicians because I'm going to spend more time with this person than I am with my wife. So he says, this is a relationship and I really want to make sure that I make the right decision. And this is exactly the same. I love that idea of taking them off site, developing that relationship and getting to know them.
So as far as transparency on the numbers, what it takes to, you know, I've got to have sales, it makes gross profit, I have costs, and then we have a profit in the company. And we need this profit to do so many really critical things, including new wages and tools, et cetera. What kind of advice do you give someone who's looking to grow their talent, that they would put up the P&L and share it and have a line on it that says owner compensation so that everyone knows. I've also heard that some people say, listen, here's how much I'm taking from the business. And after we pay all our bills, I'm divvying up the rest to you guys for what all that you did to get us here. I mean, that's major buy-in. You agree with the transparency piece?
I do, but I'll tell you, it's tough. I get a lot of pushback on it. But I'll tell you what, the shops that I know of that have the most loyalty and really hard workers are shops that are transparent. They put the numbers up in the, you know, the break room, and everybody knows what's going on. Everybody knows how the P&Ls work. Some shops, they're actually training their employees on how to read a P&L. And they put the numbers up and everybody knows. It's like, hey, great, you know, our gross profit was this. And what makes it real is when people not only understand the numbers, but they understand how their job contributes to the numbers. That's when it really becomes real. And then when they share in the benefits of that, now everybody really understands. They're like, okay, I know that if I can, you know, if we can move, you know, one more car through the bay every day, it equals this. I know that my job is this. You know, if I can do inspections and I can do 100% of the inspections every single time, it equals this. That's when you really start moving together as a team.
Look, I've got a really interesting download on my downloads page on the remarkableresults.biz website. Go to the downloads page, and it's called Profitability for Dummies. And we have done episodes in the past on this where you got to put up a profit and loss statement for your people to see. And it's a generic $100, but you can compound it to $1,000, to $100,000, to $1,000,000, and the numbers still work, right? Anything against $1 is still the same percent. And we show where the revenue comes in, where the gross profit is, and then how we have to pay our bills. And it's kind of a fun little exercise to do in front of your people before you give them this real thing. Oh my God, what is all that? It's very simple. If $34 happens to be the payroll for the month, and it's 34% of the $100, it's not hard to be able to show. And if anyone ever needs any help on how to actually get this done inside your business, I think there may be a couple of PowerPoints. There may be some kind of chart. I can't remember. It's been up there for a while. Carm at remarkableresults.biz. I'd be more than happy to help you with this and to help you get going on it, because I think we're getting to this sophisticated level of business, Chris. You know it probably just as much as I do, and the people that you have, your clients, your community, that we need to step over this line and have this thing called transparency. And it's a good thing today. You can have your people fight your fight if they don't know what the fight is.
Absolutely. And it's amazing how many people think that the owner gets to keep 100% of the labor rate. It's just funny. It's like, wow, we're charging $170 an hour. Well, that's what you get to make, Mr. Owner, huh? And it's like, yeah, not really. That's not how businesses work. And one other thing, Carm, is it's funny because I have had lots of owners that I've talked to say, you know what? I was a little bit worried about it, but as soon as I brought this individual in and showed them everything that happens, what I do and what my job is, they say, oh, I don't want to go start my own shop. That's too much stuff. I want to clock out at 5:30. So, you know, there's a lot of different reasons for that. But I think transparency always, you know, in the long run, if you can figure out how to have transparency, it's going to benefit everything.
And so, okay, I want to do this. Now it's your job to be able to teach them how to read the profit and loss statement, how to understand where the numbers are coming from, how they get here, and how we, of course, make profit. And profit is not a dirty five-letter word. It is just not. It's a sustainable part of the business. And look, the owner's got all this risk in there. And I think people have to stop to realize that they did this, they've got all the risk. And the more they know what it really takes to run a great business, not everyone who you happen to earmark as your future heir apparent, as your future manager up to General Motors, is going to get it. You may have to go through a few, right, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the old kiss some frogs. I heard it explained this way, and this was actually a CEO. It was a CEO outside the industry, and he said, you know, the way that I look at this is, it's not a bad thing to really necessarily hire a bunch of people and have them not work out. But every time you hire somebody for a specific position, you should be looking at how somebody that really is a top performer in that position works, because there are archetypes to them. There's a service advisor archetype. There's a technician archetype. There's a GM archetype. And once you figure that out, then you can spot it in someone else. So you spot them quicker. And then you also, you know, if they don't work out or they're not working out, you don't string them out for so long, because you can spot that and you realize, oh, okay, you just don't have the basic archetypes. Hopefully you've covered that in the beginning when you're hiring, but if you see it 30, 60, or 90 days down the road, then you can say, you know what, we're going to let you succeed somewhere else because this isn't the place for you.
Great points. I'm with Chris Lawson, technicianfind.com. Please go to his website, check it out. He's got a great community. He's been on the podcast 8 times. This is 9th, maybe even more. I don't count good when you get old. I love thinking about transparency and what it ultimately could mean in the business, Chris. And I think that transparency can lead to a higher degree of accountability.
Absolutely. And again, I think it goes back to people understanding how their job fits into the bigger picture. It really is. And, you know, I think we've spoken, on one of our earlier episodes about the younger generation. How do you motivate the younger generation? And being part of something that's bigger than yourself is a big part of that. And when they understand how what they do contributes to safe and reliable vehicles on the road, how it contributes to the business growing, serving more people, getting more money because they get to share in that, all of these things are very attractive and build a really powerful culture.
Hey, I so appreciate babysitter versus manager, this discussion. And I think we just nailed some perfect places. Now, before I want to go and ask you another question or three, are there anything we didn't cover in your talking points that you'd love to share with our listener?
One of the things that I just wanted to give is a quick checklist. If someone says, you know what, I've been hiring babysitters, I'm ready to hire a manager, I've got just some things that they should think about. One of the things is just, first of all, getting really clear on what you want. We talked about that a little bit, but start by drafting a detailed position description. Get really detailed about what their day-to-day tasks are going to be and how they're going to be held accountable. And then really dive into issues you have with not being 100% transparent with your numbers. Is it that you don't understand them yourself? And there's no shame in that. I mean, I have met shop owners who on the outside look phenomenally successful and they don't really understand their P&Ls. So it's not about that. It's just about getting the help that you need and understanding your numbers so that you can be transparent with those. And then being prepared to train your managers on reading the financial statements like the P&Ls so they understand the business metrics and can make informed decisions based on those. That's really important. And then get really clear on what your offer is. Is it worthy of a strong manager? Ask yourself that question that I covered a little bit earlier. Is if you had a strong manager sitting in front of you and they said, I'm talking to 2 other shops, why should I go with you? What are you going to tell them? Make sure you've rehearsed that. Make sure you've thought through that process. What is the benefit? What do you offer that's substantial? And then spend time on the ads. This is the first interaction that you're going to have with a potential candidate. Make sure that your ads are communicating that you are a strong place to work. They're communicating that they're going to have responsibility, that you're not a micromanager. Make sure you're drawing them into a story about your shop where they're the hero and you're the guide. And they can experience a transformation if they take the risk of coming on board with you.
I love it. Thank you for doing Hero and Guide for me. We just did an episode about that. And boy, that hit home so well. Talk about a great story. When I was a young man, my dad called me in the office with the accountant. I'm in my 20s. It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And they gave me the profit and loss statement. And dad was sitting across the desk. The accountant was sitting to his kind of left or right. And I'm across the desk in his chair and I got this P&L and they're talking about a bunch of stuff and I'm flipping through it and I get to the profit and loss page and I'm looking at it and they looked at me and they say, any questions, Carm? It was one of these, you know, detectives trying to find out if I really had a good answer or not.
Did you say, is this in English?
I recall this. I know exactly what I was wearing. And I said, no, I'm fine. I got it. And about 2 hours later, I said, you ass, You had every opportunity to ask great questions, to understand, to become a student of the accountant, to teach me this stuff. But your ego was like, oh, you went to college. You must know what this is, right? And so I always think about it really helped me ask questions that I had to know. Okay. It's like a trainer in front of a class, Chris. And someone asks a question, says, that's a great question. And somebody says, thank God he asked them because I didn't have the stones to ask that question because I didn't know either. And so we've got to get our never think you know everything. Okay, you're a great couple million dollar business. There's still things you don't know. So be humble, ask the right questions. You get to a point where you should be asking more questions than the answers that you get.
And every answer opens up new questions.
Well, thank you for letting me tell my young man accountant story. Let's go to Technician Find. What couple of big takeaways that you're seeing and you're feeling in this recruitment side of the industry?
Well, it's January and that's when things pick up. Gosh, I tell you, everybody was thinking about it in November and December, not only from the hiring side, but from the looking side. So it's a good time to have ads out there. That's for sure. We see that information is big. We're really making an investment into providing more information. So we're doing very comprehensive salary surveys for all the positions. And we're finding that the technicians love to see those. We get a lot of requests on that end. The shop owners love seeing them because it shows all the competition out there. Now with AI, there's a lot of things that you can do where you can really get a nice snapshot. And my team has developed some really robust reports that we put together that give you an idea. Because overall, you want to make sure that your offers are strong. And now that information is so available, you have to be on top of that because everybody knows, you know, information, you can't hide information anymore. You have to know the information and you have to have access to it in order to structure strong offers. So we're seeing a lot of that. Overall, just being out there and making sure that from a recruiting standpoint, it's like the old, you don't build, fix the roof when, you know, it's raining. You always want to be out there consistently and building the bench. And that's shops that are having the best results are thinking about building the bench before they really need help.
So it's continuity in the recruitment process. It's like never let your foot off the gas.
It's continuity. There's different ways that you promote. When you really need help, you have to really turn up the heat on your campaigns. But there should be passive recruiting campaigns going on all the time. You know, that sounds fancy, but it could just be, what are you posting on your socials? I know a lot of shops post things about their customers and they post a lot of things about the shop, but are you posting things about your culture? Because I can tell you, you know, actually one of my clients, he was talking about it. It's a shop and he said, you know what? I had somebody that came, watched us for 2 years and watched our Facebook page for 2 years before they decided to put in an application. So just know they're out there watching you and what you're putting on there. Are you celebrating birthdays? Are you doing team events? Are you doing escape rooms and barbecues and things like that? Post all those things on there. Are you celebrating your employees or your techs when they get ASE certifications? Or, you know, what are you doing? Are you putting out a post when you hire a new GM and just praising them and welcoming them to the team? All these things show what kind of culture you're running.
Those are great points, Chris. Let me ask you a question about the influence of a significant other. And so if an individual knows that husband, wife is not happy with where they are, they bring work home, they're sad more than they're glad, and they start seeing this kind of social stuff, could they have influence?
Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yeah.
How often do you see that? Help me with that. How often do you hear about that?
Very often. One of the things we do is we run ads, lots and lots of ads. We run them. And what ends up happening is, you know, it's almost surprising how many times a spouse will tag their significant other and they'll say, hey, honey, you need to see this. Or they'll email it to them and they'll say, hey, honey, you need to see this. Because our friends, somebody will tag their buddy and go, hey, have you seen this? Because they're the ones that hear the stories. Buddy at the ball game hears the story and he's talking about the shop that he hates, you know, or, you know, the spouse that gets to hear about the shop at night, you know, over dinner. And so they see these ads too. And absolutely, they share them, they get them to apply, and they sometimes are on socials even more than the actual employees.
Chris Lawson, your wisdom is beyond what I always expect every time you come on. So thank you for this. Technicianfind.com. We talked a whole bunch of great stuff today, including babysitters versus managers and all of his great advice here at the end. Please share this episode with friends. And if not, I hope you took some notes. And if not, go to the website, find the show notes. We'll probably have a great outline of all the great things Chris said. And so from then, Automotive Repair Podcast Network.com, find our app, download it, QR codes everywhere, and see you next time. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive repair business podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. Get your episodic education on the ARPN listening app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com. Also, enjoy the podcast on our Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. Carm is all for advancing the professional automotive service industry. Until next time.